Laura Tingle, what a day in Parliament.
Oh, what a day outside Parliament as well, Philip. What a day outside Parliament. Extraordinary scenes.
You're very croaky, but let's push on. Did any politicians join the march?
Well, they did. Of course, it wasn't actually a march. It was a rally, but, that's splitting hairs. But a lot of Labor politicians went out. A lot of Greens went out. A lot of Independents went out. A lot of junior coalition MPs and a couple of junior ministers went out from the government, but clearly the Prime Minister and the senior cabinet ministers didn't go out. The Minister for Women didn't go out. I don't think it was a really good look, Philip.
And what about in Parliament itself? I understand that, did the Prime Minister at least acknowledge what was going on outside?
He did. He did acknowledge what was going on outside, and he said that everybody, understood the arguments about, what was at stake outside. And he celebrated, as I think you may have been making reference to, Philip, the fact that people were actually allowed to express their legitimate opinions about these things, whereas in some countries they'd be shot for doing so. So I think everybody felt very grateful for that sort of dispensation. But, there were references made to it, but I think basically you'd have to say the Prime Minister remains fairly severely on the back foot about this. He cut question time short when he was asked questions about various matters relating to this, whether it related to the Brittany Higgins story or whether it related to the allegations concerning the Attorney General. He was just, he really, really wasn't looking all that keen about going there.
I think you're making light of the fact that that no one was shot today. I think that was a great achievement, for our democracy. Did the Leader of the Opposition make any statement or call for an inquiry, or was he gagged?
He actually gave one of his more impassioned speeches in Parliament, Anthony Albanese, on all of these things. There were statements on indulgence at the beginning of question time, Philip, as it's called, and the Prime Minister made some comments about what was going on and how important it was, and then Anthony Albanese responded, and I think it was one of his better speeches. But when question time was closed down early, he tried to have normal procedures stop so that he could sort of raise the question of whether there should be an inquiry into the Christian Porter allegations and things, but he was shut down after a few minutes by Peter Dutton, who was acting in Christian Porter's job because Christian Porter's off on mental health leave.
I understand Brittany Higgins made a damn good speech outside.
Well, I'd say that was definitely the best speech of the day. She's such an impressive young woman. And, she was just so clear about... I mean, I think the thing that's sort of interesting about Brittany Higgins is she is so clear about what she's trying to do, why she's trying to do it, completely courageous about sort of calling it for what it is. I thought the line that I think they used in the news and which we used also on 7:30, where she was just saying, look, the reason why my story was on the front page was because of where the sexual assault happened, which was right here in Parliament House. And it just really made the point that if it can happen here, it can happen anywhere. And, of course, it does. And she spoke very powerfully about all the women who hadn't been able to find their voice, for various reasons, that they didn't have the courage or they didn't feel articulate enough or they didn't have enough support to be able to speak out about what had happened. But it is such an extraordinary thing, Philip, and you could feel it in the crowd today. You feel it in the responses you get from people who write to you when you report on this. That this is just so pervasive. That sexual assault is just so pervasive that everybody has some direct or indirect experience of it. I think Brittany Higgins spoke so eloquently for and to that point, and was basically saying, look, enough is enough. People need to take this seriously. Governments need to take it seriously. And of course, I think the last few weeks have really left the Prime Minister exposed to the charge that he's really tried to regard this as a political management issue, not as one that you actually want to be fixing in any sort of serious way.
As a press gallery vet, have you been aware of this for many years?
Well, I suppose it's always been there, Philip, but I mean, I suppose I've been really shocked, which probably shows how innocent I am, at some of the stories that have emerged and some of the people who've got in contact with me who aren't junior staffers. They're senior women who work in the building, have worked in the building for years, and just the sort of the day-to-day casual abuse that they're subjected to and the sort of demeaning remarks. It doesn't actually even have to go as far as sexual assault or rape. It's just, you know, this absolutely demeaning way they're treated is just, it has really shocked me, I have to say.
Now, some newspapers are talking up claims that there's been offences committed by Labor pollies. Has Albanese or Plibersek responded to this?
Well, there's a Facebook page that's been set up which is talking about, you know, various allegations that have been made. Essentially, Anthony Albanese saying, look, you know, I'm not aware of a lot of these things, but we've got to have the proper processes in place to deal with it. It still remains, as somebody said today, you know, I think it might have been Anthony Albanese actually said, look, you know, these are cases that involve clear victims or clear accusers and clear episodes of when these things happened. It's still all a bit vague and on the Labor side, and I think that's true. That's no reason to think that it hasn't happened. And there's, you know, there's been plenty of suggestion really since the Four Corners program last year that there were Labor people who may be sort of put into the frame at some point, but it hasn't happened yet.
Can we say anything about the defamation case against the ABC and Louise?
And Louise Milligan? We can say that Christian Porter has engaged a law firm and is taking defamation proceedings against the ABC and Louise Milligan about a story that appeared, which didn't actually name Christian Porter, but he's saying that he was readily identifiable in the story to enough people for it to be defamatory. So I don't think we'll say a lot more about it at this stage, Adam, Philip.
Is the anger that you observe today going to dissipate, or will it keep building?
I think it will keep building because some of these cases are unresolved and because the government hasn't really done anything substantive, even in its own backyard, even in Parliament House. It's got all of these inquiries, but there's sort of no great confidence that anything's going to happen here. I mean, for example, is this Kate Jenkins is hitting up an inquiry into the culture of Parliament House, which is great, but a lot of staffers are saying, well, the inquiry will be subject to freedom of information laws. We're worried that if we talk to the inquiry, it will become clear that we've talked to the inquiry. So this is a real dilemma for the inquiry, which I know Kate Jenkins is and her team are sort of trying to work out how you protect the confidentiality of people. But I think that's sort of a sign of the fact, I mean, it's good that they're doing this inquiry, but once again, it's not going to be one that sort of has a sort of a prosecutorial role. It's really just one that's sort of collecting anecdotes. And this remains a particular problem in Parliament House, which I think we've discussed in previous weeks, which is that there's this peculiar process where you complain to the Department of Finance, but the Department of Finance has no power to do anything about your complaint. It only can report back to the minister or the MP for whom you work. And if it's the minister or MP that is either responsible for the problem or who is overlooking the behaviour of one of their staff members, you're completely powerless to get any sort of outcome that addresses that or punishes anybody.
finally, the Prime Minister's had a bad week, but there's wonderful news for him from Western Australia.
Well, I mean, isn't that a most extraordinary result, Philip? The Liberals reduced to a couple of MPs, the Nationals actually having more MPs than the Liberal Party in Western Australia. This huge swing to Labor, and of course, one of the reasons for that is that Mark McGowan has taken this really hard line on border closures into Western Australia because of COVID-19, which of course is a subject of immense frustration to the Prime Minister. He hates border closures, so it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, the Liberal Party organisationally is now, I think, really on its knees over there. It's not going to have party status and therefore will miss out on a lot of money. It won't have staff in state MPs' offices. And the people who've been sort of so dominant in the past in the West Australian Liberal Party, Matthias Cormann, Julie Bishop, even Christian Porter, all on the way out. Linda Reynolds is also in big trouble. So I think it's going to be a real problem for them in terms of campaigning at the next federal election.
I'm delighted we got you on tonight. I thought you would have grabbed one of those half-price airline tickets.
First of April, Philip. 1st of April, that's when it starts.
Laura, thanks for that. Laura Tingle, Chief Political Correspondent, 7:30.